Well, we'll start off with this. I'm pretty confident. I know people at Corinth are the sharpest people. That's why you go to Corinth, you know? And so I'm pretty confident everybody knows what this is, right? This is a power strip, all right? So we know what this is. And so I don't know who came up with this idea. I imagine it was some bubba somewhere that was like, you know what? What if we took one outlet and we turned it into six, you know? And it was like this great idea. And so these things are fantastic. Whether you're at home, you're in the office, that's a great thing, you know, because like you can plug multiple things into this little strip, plug this in, and it just works. And so isn't it great? Like if you're at the office, you know, you can like put your computer, you can plug your computer in here. You got your, you know, USB charger for your phone. You got your printer, you got your scanner, you got your phone. You got all those kind of things. It gets Christmas time. Christmas decorations will be going up soon because it's October. So here in a couple weeks, you guys will all be putting your Christmas trees up and that stuff. I know that. And so, you know, you put all your lights in there. And so can you just imagine me with just what it would be like, you know, if you're just watching somebody, you know, they're sitting there at their desk, they're trying to get everything ready to go, and they got all their Christmas lights plugged in, and they get it into the strip, and then they go, okay, now it's time for the magic. And then they go like that. And they plug it into itself and they're like, why didn't anything work? You know, maybe it's because the button's not on, you know, and they're doing this, they're checking fuses, they're checking breakers in the house, and it's like, what is going on? And it's like, well, you know what's going on is, well, you're powering it from the wrong source, right? You know, you can't plug into the same source and expect that you're actually going to get, you know, power, that there's actually going to be something that takes place. You can't plug into your self source and think that you're actually going to get some power, that there's going to be a difference that's going to be made. Let's say it one more time. You can't plug into the same thing thinking that you're going to actually see a difference. But here's what I would love to just point out to you. I think that this might describe many of our relationship with God. Is that we keep trying and trying and trying, and we think, you know what, I am going to get my relationship with the Lord right. And so I'm gonna become more religious, I'm gonna follow more rules, I'm gonna make sure I do that. And in many ways, you know what that is? It is plugging into the source of yourself. Whenever, what is God actually calling us to do? It is to plug into the power of the Spirit. That'll actually guide us and lead us and transform us into becoming the people that he created us to be. And honestly, that's really the message of Galatians chapter 5. You know, if you haven't been with us for a bit, we've been working through the book of Galatians. It's a letter by the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to these churches in Galatia who started off so well. They heard the gospel, they believed, they put their faith in Jesus, but now here they are, and they're struggling because there's a group of people that just like crept their way into the church, these legalists, these Judaizers that started telling them things like, you know, hey, faith in Jesus is good and all, but if you want to be a real Christian, then you got to make sure you're obeying all the law. You got to make sure you're circumcised. You got to make sure, you know, that you are following the Jewish law, that you're doing all the holidays, you're keeping all the rules. And Paul said that the reason why this is not working, y'all, is because you're trying to power yourself here. He's like, that's not what it is. You know, these Judaizers, they've come in and they basically said, here's how this works. You know, you need to believe in Jesus, then you need to obey the law, and then you'll be accepted by God. And Paul says, whoa, 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 time out. No, 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 no. The way this works is you believe in God and then you are accepted by him and then you obey. He's like, and those things are radically different. And just that one little tweak just like junks all of it up. And so he says, so if you've revised the gospel, you've reversed the gospel. If you add to Christ, you're actually subtracting from Christ, is the entire point that he is trying to make in this entire letter to these churches, trying to fix this bad teaching. Well, in chapter 5, he's going to continue on just driving the point home. And so we've been through 4 weeks so far. Today we're in chapter 5. If you got your Bible, I'd love for you to grab that. And let's just kind of start walking through this text. So chapter 5, a lot of verses to cover here. So let's kind of start off with an outline, all right? So verses 1 through 12, we'll just call this, if you're taking notes, we call this, don't lose your freedom. Verses 13 through 15 is going to be, don't abuse your freedom. And then at the end, he's going to say, and here's how you live by the Spirit, all right? So let's talk about don't lose your freedom. Listen to what he says, chapter 5, verse 1. He says, so Christ has truly set us, say the word with me, he has truly set us free. And so now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. He's like, listen, Paul, I'm telling you this. If you're counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you've been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we, he says in verse 5, we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. So these first six verses is really just a summary of chapters 1-4, isn't it? I mean, it's just, you're free, stay free. And if you are counting on anything other than Christ, you know, if you are counting on anything other than him, if you are thinking that you can achieve your salvation rather than just receive your salvation, he's like, then you are completely missing the point. I love what the Scottish preacher Alistair Begg says. He says, it's he, not me. He, not me. And if you're ever in a place where it's me, not he, he's like, then you're just you're cut off from all of this. He's like, so you've been made free. Don't lose your freedom. And then in verse 7, he says, you were running the race so well. So who has held you back from following the truth? Literally, he says, who has cut you off? So it's like driving on 285. Who has cut you off on 285? The answer? Everybody, right? Everybody has cut you off. And so for here, though, he's like, who has cut you off? Who has held you back from following the truth? He's like, it's not God. For he's the one who called you to freedom. He's like, this false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. He's like, listen, you gotta be really, really careful. It is so easy to get derailed on this. Easy to be cut off like you are in traffic. He says, dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, because evidently, you know, what the false teachers were doing, they were saying like, well, you know, Paul, whenever he's in other places, he teaches them they got to follow the law. He just didn't do that with us. And so, you know, that's why we need to do that here. He's like, if I were still doing that, and as some people say I do, then why am I still being persecuted? I mean, if I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. Then verse 12 is just one of the more extreme verses in the Bible. And so we're just going to read it and we'll just say, okay, all right, enough said. All right, this is what he says. He says, I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. Okay, and that means what you think it means, so enough said right there. He says, so his big appeal is just don't lose your freedom. Don't lose it. But now it's almost like Paul is like, okay, I know I've been talking about freedom. I know I've been talking about grace, that's how we're saved. You know, it's not what we achieve, it's what we receive. He's like, and so now it's like he hears the objection. And before the objection can even be said, he's like, hold on here. Now I know what you're going to think. You know, that if we just preach grace and that you are saved through what Jesus does and not what you're, then that's going to make people go crazy and they're going to think that their behavior doesn't matter, you know, and they're just going to go nuts because they just think, oh, we can just do whatever we want. And so he's like, let me explain what I'm trying to say. He says there in verse 13, he's like, for you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, and here it is, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. And so he's like, I know that you might think, and it could be very easy for you to go down this road, that it's just like, well, I just get to do whatever I want. You know, and this is actually why legalists jump in the way that they do, because they get uncomfortable with grace, and they're like, well, if you're just telling grace, then people aren't going to follow rules. They're not going to obey, and they're just going to go crazy. And so he's like, I understand that there's this fear there. He's like, but if you're doing that, that's because you're not understanding completely what this freedom means. You know, I love what the theologian John Stott said. He said this, Christian freedom is freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. Okay? It's freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. That's what this freedom is all about. Think about it like this. So whenever I turned 16 years old, I was growing up in Carthage, Missouri. Whenever I turned 16, I wanted to get my driver's license, right? Because that's what you do, right? Is that what you do at 16? Okay, come on now. Y'all help me out here. Whenever you turn 16, you get your driver's license. And it's like, that's what I wanted to do more than anything. But in my hometown of Carthage, they only did the driver's test like one day a week. And my birthday did not fall on the day that Carthage had their driver's test. So I thought, well, I don't want to wait. I've been waiting 16 years to be able to do this. I am not waiting another 5 days to get my license. So I went over to Joplin, Missouri, a bigger town than where I was from, and I took my test. And I passed, y'all, okay? I passed by one point, okay? By one point, I passed. In fact, there was one point, the reason why I had so many points knocked off is just a little mistake I made. I drove down the wrong way on a one-way street, okay? And so there's this thing, whenever you're taking your driver's test, whenever the attendant there, it goes, what are you doing? It's like, I'm probably not gonna make it, but I did, you know? And so I got it. And so I got my license, and so that means I'm free. Right? Because a driver's license means you're free. You know, you don't have to have mom take you to the mall to drop you off for dates anymore. You know, it's like you get to do all these things. And so, but even then with a driver's license, you know that you're free, but that freedom comes with limits. You know, like speed limits. You can't drive as fast as you want. Like stop limits. You know, you've got to stop whenever you see a stop sign. You know, you can't do that. And why are those limits there? Don't miss this. To protect you. And to protect others. And this freedom that God has given us is a freedom that does set us free, but that freedom is also comes along with these things that say, hey, the freedom should lead to you loving other people, doing what's best for them. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so Paul's message to them is like, listen, don't lose your freedom by trading grace for law, and don't abuse your freedom by indulging every desire you have, because you have been saved to love and to serve. So he says, let's walk in the Spirit. Verse 16, he says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. That the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. So Paul is bringing something to light that you may have felt before. Maybe you didn't have vocabulary for it, but we all have a sinful nature. It's in us, and there is a war that is raging inside of us. It's the things that, it's that part of you that wants to do what is not right, you know, and the Spirit is what is guiding you to do what is correct, what is right. And that sinful nature and the Spirit, there is always a conflict going on between those two. There is a fight that is going on, and it is a battle between that which you know is what God wants you to do and that which you yourself want to do. I mean, think of it like this. Like for me, one of the things that I want is to live a healthy life. Okay, I want to live a healthy life so I can live a long and healthy life with my wife, Jennifer, so that we can grow up and watch our kids grow up, have grandkids, grandkids, great grandkids, all that kind of stuff. You know, and that's what I want. So that is a desire that I have. There is another desire that I have that goes contrary to that, and it is I want to eat 4 pints of ice cream every night, okay? You know, that's what I want. I want to do that. I want to eat brown food because brown food is good. Fry it up, throw a bunch of sauces on it. That's what I want to do. Well, that is in conflict with the desire to live a healthy life and not buy bigger pants. You know, it is a conflict that is present, and it is always going on, and that's what Paul is saying. Inside of you, there's this sinful nature that is always going to be fighting against what the Spirit wants you to do, that is keeping you from becoming the Christian, becoming the perfect Christ-like version of yourself. And do you want to know how long it is going to take and how long this fight is going to rage? Do you want to know when this fight will be over? Okay, you ready? It will be over, okay? Here's when it will be over. It will be over at your funeral, okay? That's when the fight is done, okay? That is whenever your faith becomes sight. That's when it is all done. And then that's whenever you can know that the sinful nature is finally dead because your body is dead. It's like the old preacher was asked by somebody in his church. He's like, man, how long do you think that you're going to struggle with having lustful thoughts? And he said, well, probably I think I will finally have defeated them after I've been dead. For a week. You know, it's like, after I've been dead for a week, I'm pretty sure there'll be no more lustful thoughts after that, okay? And so that's what's going on. It is this, there's the goal of the flesh, the goal of the Spirit, but the goal of the flesh is not the goal of the Spirit, and the goal of the Spirit is not the goal of the flesh. And so that is why there is a tension, there is a conflict that is going on in your life. And he says, whenever you follow desires, in other words, whenever you, and this is verse 19, whenever you give in and you don't win the battle, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. In other words, anything I'm about to read right here, nobody's going to go, oh, that's a sin? I didn't know that. Okay? It's very, very clear. These are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. So let me tell you again, as I've told you before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's like, it's very, very clear. Now, broad categories, he's talking about sexual sins, religious sins, relational sins, and substance sins, okay? We can just throw those great big, you know, that a great big umbrella over that. And he says, anyone living that sort of life won't inherit the kingdom of God. Whenever the sinful heart gets what the sinful heart wants repeatedly, that is the result. You live controlled by your sinful nature, no kingdom of God for you, okay? That's what Paul is saying. Now, I want to make a huge point of clarity here because I think this is super helpful. What Paul is talking about, okay, listen to this, is people who continually indulge the sinful nature. This is not someone who has infrequent or repented relapses in these areas. This is someone who just continues on in the sinful nature, continues on with their sins, going, this is just the way that I am. This is how God made me. God's fine with this. I've talked to God. He's okay with this. Without the battling, without the fighting, without the striving, he says, if you can just live this way, and there is no inner conflict in you, then you are not being controlled by the Spirit, and there is no kingdom for you. So he's not just talking about an act of sin, but a habit of sin here. Just continually going in. Because here's the deal. Because somebody who is controlled by the Spirit of God may have moments of weakness or relapse, but it's a conflict. It's not something they're comfortable with. You tracking with me? If the conflict is there, if you're like, I'm not comfortable with this, then that means you're still growing, you're being redeemed. All these things are being worked out to you. It's whenever we become comfortable living in a nature, living according to our sinful nature, that Paul says, no kingdom. That is not having the life of the kingdom in you. He says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, where the acts of the sinful nature are plural, fruit is singular there. And so something to keep in mind is that the real fruit of the Spirit always grows together. Always grows together. In other words, you will never have a point in your life where it's like, well, I have overripe self-control in my life, but joy is dying on the vine over here. You know, it's like, I have got so much gentleness, but that love thing, man, I don't love anybody. You know, it's like, that won't ever happen. It always will grow together, and it might take some time, but just like fruit grows, it is inevitable. If the Spirit is controlling you, the fruit will become more and more evident the longer we are controlled by the Spirit. So Paul's saying, hey, don't lose your freedom. Don't abuse your freedom. And so now he's like, I want you to live by the Spirit's power. So how do we live the free life that the Spirit gives to us? Well, here's the big bullet point over these last three verses. It's this, that freedom will be found through surrender. Freedom is found through surrender. And I know that might sound weird to you because it's like, no, freedom is found through fighting. You know, whoever has the biggest sword is who wins, and that's who's free. It's like, no, freedom for the Christian is found through surrender. Listen to what he says. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. He says, those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross, because we understand those who are being controlled by the Spirit is that Christ not only died for me, but I died with him. He died to remove the penalty of sin, but I died with him to break the power of sin. He nailed those things to the cross. We surrender to find that freedom. And I know that that sounds weird, but we find this to be true in so many other areas of our lives. Like, how do you find freedom in marriage? How do you find happiness in marriage? It's through surrender. I mean, think about it like this. Guys, if you ever sat down with your wife and you said, hey, baby, loving this thing. You know, it's been great. We've been together 20 years, 25 years, and it's been a great time, but I'm starting to feel a little restricted. And feeling like my freedom, it's just like there's some like things just holding me back, you know. And so I think for me to truly feel free and happiest in this marriage, I need to start dating other women. You guys aren't laughing enough because you think this is like an option. It's not an option, all right? Let me do marriage counseling right now. No, don't say that, right? And so it's like, well, that's stupid. That's not how marriage works. Marriage is like exclusiveness. You know, it's like it's for you, for her, and for her, for you. That's kind of the way this all goes. And it's through the surrender of a husband to his wife and a wife to her husband, that's where the true freedom is found, isn't it? That's where the relationship is found. Whenever we surrender to one another, this is the same thing in your life. It's like if you want to live a healthy life, then you surrender to the things that are going to bring health. It means that you stay moving, right? Because what's the secret? Motion is the potion. That's what keeps you healthy. That's what keeps you going. It's saying no to certain foods. It's saying yes to other kind of things. It's doing all these things. It is surrendering to that. So freedom is ultimately going to be found in surrender. So how do we surrender to the control to the Spirit? Well, here you go. Let me give you a couple of thoughts. The first thought would be this, is that we learn to fix our eyes on Jesus. If you want to learn to surrender, learn to fix your eyes on Jesus. There's an old song, old hymn, and if you grew up in church, maybe you've heard it before, but turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full on his wonderful face. But you remember what it says? And then the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You hear that? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And whenever you do that, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. The author of Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We're going to fix our eyes on him. How do we do that? Well, one of the great things that we can do is to remember to continually preach the gospel to yourself. I mean, you guys know this. I tell you this all the time. Nobody preaches to you more than you preach to you. I mean, I get you for 35 minutes a week and I'll do my thing, but you talk to you more than anybody else talks to you. And generally, nobody talks to you worse than you talk to you either. So learn to talk to yourself. Learn to preach to yourself the gospel. Remind yourself on a daily basis, I have received this, I haven't achieved this. It is because of his grace. It is because of his mercy. He is the air that I breathe. My sins have been forgiven. I have been set free from my past. I have been set free to a brand new future. All of this is because of him. It's about him, not me. And you preach the gospel to yourself, because the goal is to become so in love with Jesus that all the things of this world grow strangely dim. They fall out of focus, because you are so focused on Christ and what he has done for you, who he is. Now, in the meantime, while you're training yourself to fix your eyes on Jesus, while you are preaching the gospel to yourself, in the meantime, remember that battle is going to still be raging. And so in the middle of the battle, remember to be wise. It is okay to set guardrails and to set boundaries, to set parameters. That's wisdom. You know, like if you're somebody, you know, you're here, maybe you're watching online and like you struggle with alcoholism and you're like, well, I don't want to be a legalist and, you know, never go around alcohol or never go hang out with people who are drinking or, you know, never have, you know, a liquor cabinet in my house. And it's just like, that sounds like legalism to me. And it's like, no. That sounds like wisdom to me. If you're somebody who struggles with drinking, then you don't go hang out at the bars every single weekend. That's kind of foolish, isn't it? You know, it's just like, you just don't do that. You don't go hang out with the friends that you used to get plastered with every weekend. You make changes. You're like, well, that feels legalistic. No, that's just wise. If you're somebody who struggles with pornography, you know, or lustful thoughts, it's like, well, I don't want to be legalistic, you know, and put filters on my phone or filters on our computer and make sure that, you know, none of those things can get through. I think that I should just learn to deal with the temptation. Now, that's dumb, right? Like, no. That's not legalistic. That's just foolishness. Be wise. Put the filters on, right? You know, give somebody else the phone and tell them, make a password that even a Russian can't crack, and just say, hey, you know, I don't ever want to be able to get near this stuff. That's wisdom. Because you're like, the sinful nature is still, there's a battle. I'm not comfortable with this. There's a battle that is raging. And so we're going to do that. But the problem is, for so many of us, and the reason why we failed with those things is because that's where we stop. And we're relying on our power, okay? Real wisdom says that's the beginning and that's where I want to start, but I'm not going to stop there because I don't want to I just don't want to avoid these things. I want to get to the place to where my eyes are so fixed on Jesus, I don't even see those things any longer. That's the goal. That is crucifying the flesh. That is nailing the passions and the desires of our sinful nature to his cross. Crucifying them there. So what are we going to do? Well, we know freedom is found through surrender. So how do we do this? Well, we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus. And then here's the second thing, is we're going to follow the Spirit. We're going to follow the leadings of the Spirit. Paul says, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Over the past 20 months in this pandemic thing, one of the things that has exploded is the online at-home workout products. Like things like Peloton, you know, Bowflex. Man, if you had stock in those things before the pandemic, you've done very well for yourself. Only Zoom would have been better to own, okay? And so, but what goes on is that, you know, you click play. There's a little screen there, or a big screen, and you click play, and there's some 22-year-old that's never had ice cream in their life, and they're sitting there yelling at you, barking at you. It's like, time for squats, time for push-ups, time to do this, da-da-da-da. And they just yell at you for 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, however long your workout is. But don't you find it interesting that what Beachbody, Peloton, Bowflex do, they don't just give you like a piece of paper and say, hey, you need to do, you know, three sets of push-ups, you need to do this. But they actually put somebody on a screen that is going to lead you and to guide you through that. You want to know why? Well, because you need help. You need help. You need somebody that's there calling you names, you know, making fun of you. You know, you need those things, those people in your life that are just going to go, no, keep going. Don't give up. And that is following the lead of the instructor. And what Paul is saying is follow the lead of the Spirit. Stay in step. And if you listen, if you learn to fix your eyes on Jesus and to open your ears to hear the Spirit and what the Spirit is saying, you're going to hear things like, and it's not going to be, you know, all right, it's time for push-ups, it's time for air squats, it's time for this, but it's going to be, hey, take a moment, take a breath. Hey, before you respond and before you yell at your kid or before you yell at your wife, why don't you just take a second here? Listen to me. You know, hey, before you go and you spend that, what about this? What if you were to give that? And it's just going to begin to just open things up. Follow the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. Be ready for the Spirit to lead. And if you want to learn to follow the Spirit best, that means very, very simply put, you got to learn to live in the rhythm of His grace. You know, this is why we talk about things like prayer, you know, Bible study, you know, community, being a part of worship services, serving people, confession, repentance. Those are the regular rhythms of living in grace. Those are the rhythms that if you can put those into your life, that you are going to be able to hear from the Spirit much easier. So what is Paul's message? If you truly want to be free, freedom is going to come through surrender. How do we surrender? Well, we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus to where we are so madly in love with Him that we don't even notice the other things. And then we're going to follow the Spirit's leading. We're going to learn to rely on the Spirit's power. Bottom line this morning is from a guy by the name of Kyle Adelman. It was so good I just stole it. And this is what it says. It says this: living differently isn't about trying, it's about relying. It's not just about trying. It's about relying. We're going to rely on the Holy Spirit. Now, relying doesn't mean we do nothing. No, Dallas Willard said this: grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning. But we are going to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. You should be pursuing a life of holiness. You should be pursuing a life of godliness. But the difference is going to lie from where are you powering yourself. Is this all self-will, self-determination, self-discipline? You're going to fail. But instead, we want to be plugged into the power of the Spirit, the ultimate source, and say, Spirit, guide me and lead me. So here's my challenge to you this week. Would you make space for the Spirit? Make some space in your life for the Spirit. Let me give you just a very simple tool to use to be able to do this. We just call it the Take Two tool. And so the Take Two is very simple. You take 2 minutes of just absolute silence, absolute quiet, and you just say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm listening. And so we do some breathing in and breathing out prayers. You know, it's like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. And so you take 2 minutes. Maybe you take 2 minutes before you sit down and you read your Bible. Take 2 minutes before you start going on and you enter into your prayer time. Maybe it's you take 2 minutes before you go into the office because you know the day that you have ahead of you. Maybe it's you take 2 minutes before going into school. Whatever it is, you take 2 minutes before you even walk into your house after the long day at the office. Spirit, here I am. Lead me. And whenever we can learn to do this, we're going to begin to experience the freedom that Christ has for us. It is for freedom that He has set you free. So I wonder today what it is that is holding you back from saying to Jesus, I want to be set free. I want to be set free from my past. I want to be set free from all the guilt, all the shame. You know, I've got all these things. Maybe it's something that you need to confess. Maybe that's a secret that you need to admit to. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's addiction. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's your pride. Maybe it's your spiritual blindness. Maybe it's your I'm always rightness. You know, whatever it is. What is it that is holding you back today? And Jesus says, I will set you free from that and set you free to a new way of living. And today you can have that. And if you're watching online and you're ready to make a decision to follow Jesus, we're going to throw up a website on the screen. We'd love for you to visit that. And we'll be in touch with you within 24 hours about your decision. If you're in the room, I'm going to pray here in a moment. And then if you've got a decision you're ready to make, man, come on up. Let's talk. And let's talk about what the Lord is doing. But understand this. You can live a life of freedom. Stop relying on your own power. And rely on the power of God's Spirit. So God, today, we're just asking for your wisdom, for your guidance. Would you just lead us to where we need to be and save us from ourselves today, Father. Some of us, we're fighting that battle. The sinful nature is still raging and the war is being fought. We pray today to say, God, would you please, through your Spirit, give us the strength we need to overcome. And so, Father, today we are trusting you. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen and amen.